Adam was made against him. So first covenant against 1345.
Very good. Okay. Okay, that was part of it, right?
Lord Lord, King Kings, and Lord Lord, 1 Timothy.
All right, very good. 1 Timothy what? You got the book. Better than the Friday night group.
6:15.
Good. Okay, Jonathan? Say yours.
God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13.
Very good. Okay, I want you to be quiet when they're saying the verse. Now, they're
merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13.
Very good.
Everyone that is exalted shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14.
Very good, Alicia.
Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14.
Everyone that exalted him shall be abased, and everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14.
Good,
everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14. But have mercy for me, sinner. Luke 15:13.
All right. And how about the fourth?
Everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14.
Good.
And everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14. Everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14.
Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14.
God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13.
All right, was there anyone else?
It was a joy to be here this morning and take up the lesson that you have in your Sunday school, Luke chapter 18. The 18th chapter of Luke. Two of these verses were recited by the young folk, and it's good to keep hearing and repetition of the verses on the Word of God. I want to read to you from verse 9 through 14, the parable of the Lord Jesus. I understand you're taking up the parables in Luke, and this is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even at this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, or the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. For every one that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I do want to stop in time today. I just wanted to tell you a little story I heard about one time about a man who had great difficulty speaking a short messages, you know. He's always preaching too long and going over time, so he was called on the mat by the elders and give them quite a talking to because he spoke so long. So the next time that he spoke, he only spoke 15 minutes. And he just couldn't get over that. As he could only speak for 15 minutes. The second time he spoke for half an hour. That was all right. But the third time he spoke for 3 hours. So he was called on the mat again. And he said, Now wait a minute. He said, I can explain it. The first time, and I only spoke 15 minutes, I just had all my teeth out, and my mouth was very sore. And that's all I could speak. And the second time, I just got my new set of teeth, and my mouth wasn't adjusted, and it was hard for me to speak, so I did well to put in half an hour. But he said the third time, he said, by mistake, I put in my wife's teeth. So I have my own teeth. I have no excuse. Anyway, coming back to this parable, you notice the Lord in verse 9 particularly addressed this to the people that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It's particularly spoken to them, and particularly the Pharisees. I want to say by way of introduction in speaking about the Pharisee and publican, you know, religion and self-righteousness are the greatest enemies of the gospel. If a person is all wrapped up in his own religion, his own self-righteousness, and you can't get near to him with the gospel. He is sort of armored with a false sense of religion and righteousness. And it leads to pride and self-esteem, and as it says here, they thought or they despised others. And that's what religion does. You know, you look down your nose at others. He's not quite as good a person. He's on the other side of the track or something else, you know. It makes you self-sufficient and self-righteous and so on, gives you a false esteem. It reminds me of Romans chapter 10, if you just want to turn there for a moment, about the Jewish people. And that's exactly their condition there we find in Romans chapter 10. And Paul's desire was for these religious people that they might be saved. He knew they were not saved. And then he says in verse 2, I bear them record they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. They did not have the real thing. It wasn't according to God's approval. It was their own established religion. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they had no conception of God's demands for a perfect righteousness. They didn't realize that God demanded perfection. Thirdly, they seek to establish their own righteousness. And what's their own righteousness like? It says in Isaiah 64 verse 6 that all our righteousness are filthy rags in God's holy sight. Not your sins, but your righteousness are filthy rags. And they were going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They have no way yielded to the provision of God's righteousness. See, the Lord Jesus was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You can only receive righteousness through the Lord Jesus. So this is the condition of these people. And they had not submitted to the provision of God. Now coming back again to Luke chapter 18, and may I suggest to you that in this opening of verse 9, if you are trusting in anything less than the Lord Jesus, then this applies to you. He spoke this to people who trusted in themselves, thinking they were all right the way they were. If you're trusting in anything less than the Lord Jesus, whether it be your religion or your good works, whatever it is, this is particularly directed to you. And you know, unless we take the word of God personally, it will not do us any good. So often people come and they listen, they say, well, I wish so-and-so would say they could hear what has been said this morning. And they miss the blessing. The people are more generous in church than anywhere else, maybe with the exception when the offering is passed. They say, boy, I like him to have that, I like for that, or hear this, I like this person to get that, you know. And they miss it themselves. You must take it to yourself. Lord, speak to me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the man that needs to hear what God has to say to me. So we need to keep that in mind. And these, they were the ones who thought they were righteous. And you know, then why? They know why they thought they were righteous. They were using the wrong measuring stick. They were measuring themselves by themselves and among themselves. But God's measuring stick is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and your neighbors yourself. Can you measure up to that? God's word is standard as the Ten Commandments. And if you break one, you're guilty of all, says James in his epistle. We need to be careful that where we measure ourselves. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one, if they're honest, can say, I love the Lord with all my heart, my strength, with everything I have. And secondly, no one loves his neighbor as himself. Suppose you're coming home some night and you see a glow in the sky and you get closer, you realize there's fires on your own street. Boy, my neighbor's house is on fire. And as you get closer and you get there, you find out it's not your neighbor's house, your own house. And you say, oh, I'm too glad it wasn't my neighbor's. Huh? Do we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? I'm afraid not. So you see, they measured themselves among themselves. And the Bible says we're not wise when we do that. Now the parable points out whom God can accept. It really points out whom God accepts. Now, I want you to notice there are two people or two persons here in this thing, and there's two prayers, and you might say there's two products or two results. First, you have the two people. The first one was the Pharisee. You notice they're named in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now the word Pharisee means to be separated due to a different lifestyle. They like to be known as the pious ones, you see. But it was all external. It was outward. It wasn't in the heart. The Lord points that out in Matthew chapter 23, as we'll see in a little while. It was mechanical. And the law to them became all, they deified the law in a sense, and yet they did not understand the purpose of the law. These Pharisees were the ones that were believed and added to the scriptures. Now some things said about them in the Word of God. If you turn with me just for a moment to Matthew chapter 23, And we'll see some things about them, what the Word of God says about the Pharisees. And you know, by nature, so easy to, for us to see how they are and not realize we're that way ourselves. First, they were proud. Matthew chapter 23, verse 6. They loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called the men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Master. They were proud people, these Pharisees. Remember the Lord said later on that the one who exalts himself, he should be brought low. He who humbles himself shall be brought up. And they were proud. They exalted themselves. And then they were self-righteous, like you saw in chapter, verse 9 of this chapter. They thought themselves righteous. And the Pharisees said, I thank God I'm not like other men. What did he mean? Well, I'm better than the others. Proud, self-righteous, outwardly religious. Look at Matthew chapter 23 again, and in verse 15. Warn to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. What a terrible thing for them. They were so religious, making converts, but only converts like themselves. Verse 25, warn the you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within is full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee. Look at the condemnation of these. Hypocrites, self-righteous, religiously outwardly religious. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men, bones, and all unclean. And that's the condition of every human heart apart from the grace of God. And when you put on a lot of religion on the outside, you're only whitewashing a rotten building. It's still the same rotten building inside, isn't it? And that's what the Lord is pointing out here. They were religious, outward show, self-sufficient. Like we saw in Luke's gospel, how this man, he was just, we'll get to that. Five times he uses the personal pronoun, I this and I do this and I'm not like other men and so forth. He needed to have that I crossed out. With Paul the Apostle in Galatians 2:20, you know, he uses the I five times, but it's crossed out. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the life of the Christ, or the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The I was crossed out, but not so with the Pharisee. I was standing out. I. God can't reach people like that. And then very pretentious. Look at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 3. But all the work they do for to be seen of men, outward demonstration, appearing to be something they are not, which is being very hypocritical. That's what it points out all down to these things here. And then they despise others. We'll go back to Luke chapter 18. Despises of others. Looking down their nose on those they felt was not as good or as religious as them. I want to suggest anyone here this morning that you feel a little bit superior to others because you're a good person, you try to do right, you're a good father, you're a good mother, you're a good provider, you live respectable and honorable, so on. But if that's all you have, my friend, it's exterior. You need it within. God looks on the man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. This man, all everything he had, was outward. The Pharisees, you remember the scribes in John chapter 8, brought the sinful woman to the Lord Jesus. And what are you going to do with her? She was caught in the act of adultery. And the Lord said, that's not the one that the cast a stone. The first one without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they all went out from the oldest to the youngest. They were seeking a better knowledge till they got into the presence of the Lord. Then they were convicted of their sin, and they had to go out because they couldn't stand his holy gaze. Secondly, you have the publican. Now, he was a tax gatherer, and I might say he was despised of others. One of the things that amazes me is the grace of God, you know, how God can call sinners. Matthew, you remember, was a tax gatherer. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27, we read here, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, that was Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. You imagine the Lord choosing one of his 12 from among the publicans. You say, Lord, are you sure you're doing right? He has a bad testimony. People don't like him. How are you going to use a man like that? The Lord says, you come after me and I'll make you. And that's what the Lord is out to do. He came to seek and to save the lost. He can transform and change the world and make them wonderful for him. And Matthew, of course, became a great man of God. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew, presenting the Lord Jesus as the King of the Jews, writing primarily to his own people. And after he got converted, he had the first, you might call, Christian businessman meeting, didn't he? He invited in all his friends to hear and to meet the Lord Jesus. He made a feast and invited them so they too could meet his wonderful Savior. And you know, these publicans, they were classified with the sinners. We read about that. When the Pharisees saw, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? That was what they were classed at. They're despised. And they used their office to defraud people. You remember some of them came to the Lord and they said, what are we supposed to do? And the Lord said, don't you exact any more than what you're supposed to. There were some of them cheated the people. They were hated because they collected money for the Romans from the Jews. But thank God Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you turn back to Luke 15, you'll see how they were despised by the Pharisees. Verse 1 and 2, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They're always classed with the sinners. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They looked down their noses on this type of a man. Yes, and they were classed, in fact, with the harlots. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and you'll see how they were clad with the harlots. And verse 31 of Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Quite a thing to class these together. But oh, he's the Savior of sinners. He's the Savior for me. And all of us are here today, and unless we had come to the place where we realized we were sinners lost, we never would have been saved, would we? And this was man. That's what he was. Zacchaeus, you remember, was the chief publican. And in Luke 19, you read about him and how the Lord Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this proud little man, he climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, you remember? He was probably too short. He couldn't look over the crowd and he was probably too fat and stout to get in among them. So he crawled up in the tree. And he looked down, he saw the Lord, says, you come down. And he came down, received him gladly, didn't he? And he said, today salvation has come to thy house. And he was wonderfully converted because he offered to restore fourfold had he wronged any man. And when that kind of work goes on in a man's heart, you know he's saved, and when he wants to make restitution. Then you have the two prayers. First, the prayer of the Pharisee. Notice his posture. The Pharisee stood. I don't suppose he bowed his head. He stood in all his pride. He stood, and he prayed thus. Notice the person he prayed with himself. His prayer went no higher than his. He was sort of a self-congratulatory prayer, talking to himself about himself. He was a self-made man, and he worshipped his Creator. I think A.P. Gipp used to say that. And then notice his pride. He's thanking God. What's he thanking God for? That he was better and more righteous than others. Yes? He says he was not an extortioner. He was not unjust. He was apparently very honorable. He was not an adulterer. He lived a moral, clean life. Oh, he wasn't even like this publican standing there. I thank God, he says. What a prayer. God, I thank thee. I'm not as other men are. Extortion is unjust, although even as this publican. And then he goes on to name two of the great things that he does in life. What does he do? I fast twice in a week. Twice a week, I go without food. And not only that, I give a tenth of all that I possess. Here's a man presenting a sort of a do-it-yourself kit. Everything he is to do himself. It's like Cain, you remember. He bought from the works of his own hand to present it to God, and God couldn't accept it. All righteousness are filthy ways. Then we see the publican's prayer. What a contrast is this. Notice his position. He stood afar off. He was afar off. Ephesians says this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Before we're saved without, and that's what he acknowledged. He acknowledged his sinnership. He acknowledged that he wasn't worthy. He stood afar off, and that's where we are. But thank God, listen to this wonderful verse in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear. When there's a sinner, my friend, that's wanting to be saved, the Lord's ear is open and his hand is ready, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. There's no shortness of hand with him. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him, on the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Secondly, notice his poise, if you like. He wouldn't as much as lift up his eyes. He had his eyes cast to the earth. He wouldn't look up. There you have his contrition, his humility. He acknowledged that there was nothing good in him. He realized that he was a sinner. Why, that's what the Lord is pleased with. I'm a man of unclean lips, as I say, you know. Oh, to acknowledge our unfit condition in the presence of a holy God, he wouldn't look up. He took that sinner's place. Like in Job 33 we read, he looketh upon men as if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. He will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. I tell you, when we take that place,
Then the Lord looks down. Then the Lord sees that person in his right attitude and frame of mind. You see him in that poise with his eyes cast down. Thirdly, you see his penitence. He smote himself upon the breast. That's where the scripture speaks about the heart, the deceitful and desperately wicked. He smote himself there. This is what the Word of God says about your heart and mine in Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's why he's smiting himself upon the breast. He acknowledged what a guilty sinner that he was. And that time is slipping by very quickly. We see his plea. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the Lord said, here you have his penitence, his repentance in your life. Except you repent that the Lord Jesus, you shall likewise perish. Unless you change your mind about your own righteousness and acknowledge that God said you're a sinner and you're a lost, condemned sinner, and you turn to him. God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's the time of the evening sacrifice. And as he saw the sacrifice being offered on the behalf of sin, he has prayed, accept me in this atoning sacrifice. Just like Abel in the Old Testament, he was accepted in the offering. God accepted him in the picture of the Lord Jesus. We're made accepted in the Beloved. We are made fit for heaven because he imputes unto us his righteousness. And we stand in all the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ before Holy God. Accepting the sacrifice. Now what's the conclusion? What are the two end results? What are the products here? One man, he went down to his house on chains, like it says in Matthew 5 and 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into heaven. The Pharisee, he went back home on chains. With his own filthy righteousness in God's sight. And accept your righteousness exceeds his, says the Lord Jesus, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. What happened to the publican? The Lord Jesus said he went home to his house justified. What does that mean? God declared him righteous. That's what justification means. God declared him righteous. Accepted in the perfect, righteous person, the Lord Jesus. I stand in him. Accepted in the Beloved. That's a wonderful thing to be accepted in him. Wonderful to be saved, my friends, and stand in his righteousness. Now tonight, I hope you'll be back. We want to speak tonight. Give an overall review of the wonderful Gospel of John. But the many things found, and just very briefly, in John's Gospel, you'll find in no other Gospel like you to pick that up tonight. Now, if you're not saved this morning, you can be. Make the same prayer this man did. Take the lowly place. God, save me the sinner. Accept me in Christ, in the Beloved, in the substitute, and you'll be saved. Let's find a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a wonderful Savior who so willingly died upon the cross. And we thank thee he came into the world to save sinners. And we thank that this publican went to his house declared righteous. And we thank thee it's a word of God for it. The Lord Jesus said it. He went home justified. And we thank thee that anyone today will come to the Lord Jesus. Thy word says to the justified by faith, simply faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just ask our blessing upon thy word to every heart present. Separate us now, thy blessing, bring us back again tonight. We ask it in the fearless and the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.